Welcome to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. I'm your host, Jim Brangenberg. Think about it. Our view of God determines what we think on all moral, cultural, and economic issues. It even determines how we vote. Hope for the future of our country and our world lies in our ability to make God the issue in every issue. Today, we're going to be talking about fighting the culture war and our first duty as a Christian citizen. Brad Bright, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be here, Jim.
All right. So, Brad, you updated and expanded your dad's booklet, Your Five Duties as a Christian Citizen, in 2016. Talk to me about this.
We did that. We updated it for a couple reasons. One, we wanted to make it relevant to today. I mean, he wrote it 40 years ago. So we just needed to update some of the material. Secondly, we expanded it from your five duties to your seven duties because we didn't want you to stop at election day. And originally, the version stopped kind of at election day. But here's the point of the booklet. You know, why did we update it? Well, because we wanted to teach Christians not just biblical principles, but we wanted to show them and give them definite ways of how do you even get started. And your seven duties as a Christian citizen gives you a number of ways for you to get started in the process of engaging culture, of getting involved in elections, which is how we choose our leadership, our leaders as a country.
So your dad sat down to write this. It's a lot to write a book. And then your dad wrote a lot of books. What was his biggest concern? What did he see that said, I got to address this? I mean, what was he seeing?
Well, he wanted to help Christians who wanted to engage in the broader cultural conversation, who wanted to make God the issue. He wanted to give them some handholds of what are the important things to be doing and how do I get started and where do I start? It made it very simple. And it's not actually a full book. It's a booklet.
Okay.
Because we wanted to keep it simple.
So what was the book about? I mean, what was he comparing? What was he talking about? The difference between what?
Well, the book is just practical suggestions of how do you go to make a difference. Starting with the first one, which is what we're going to talk about today, is to pray. That's our first duty as a Christian citizen. If we're not praying, we're not doing our full duty as a Christian citizen. But then it goes in, you know, you pray, you register to vote, you learn the issues. I mean, you see a lot of the practical things. And it's a very practical booklet, but it's all based upon how as I, as a follower of Jesus, how can I have greater influence within the country that God placed me in? If he placed me in here, he placed me here for a reason, and so I should be a good steward. And so it's all about stewarding our time, energy, et cetera, for the good of the country.
All right, so our primary duty as a citizen is to do what?
Is to pray.
Go ahead.
If we're not praying, then we're not being a good citizen. I think that's the bottom line. Because if we're not praying, then we're not talking with God, right? And if we're not talking with God, we're not listening to God. If we're not listening to God, how do we know what we're really supposed to be doing day to day?
So, as our primary duty is to pray, why? Why is that our primary duty? I mean, you got to develop this a little bit more for me. I don't understand.
Let me do that by asking you some questions. Okay. Are you smarter than God?
No. I used to think I was, but I'm not.
Are you more powerful than God?
No.
Who knows the future, you or God?
Definitely God.
Who's the commander in chief of the universe, you or God?
God.
Who knows the battle plan better, you or God?
Again, I used to struggle with that, but now God, I understand that God does.
So God knows all the pieces. God has the power. He has the knowledge. He has all this sort of stuff. Now then, if I'm a soldier, do I go into battle without knowing what my orders are?
No.
I mean, what happens?
Absolutely not. I do what my commanders tell me to do.
If I do that, one, I'm not going to be effective in terms of the overall battle plan. And two, I'm probably going to get my head shot, right? So it would be stupid to go into battle as a soldier, not knowing what the battle plan is, and not knowing what my orders are. What's my role within that battle plan? That'd be stupid.
Okay.
Why would I do that? So why would I go into the culture battle without talking to the commander in chief first. I can't think of a reason why I would do that. So why should we pray? I think I just answered the question.
Okay. All right. Can you give some examples from your own life as to where you saw this put into action and not put into action?
Well, you know, one of the things I look back to, you know, my dad, Bill Bright, started Campus Crusade for Christ. What people don't know is the first two times he tried to start it, it was an absolute flop. Absolute flop. Spring of 1951, two different times he tried to launch it, fell on its face. And he finally said, "What am I doing wrong?" And what they, you know what they realized? They had really gone to their knees and said, "God, what do you want us to do? And God, guide us and give us wisdom and clear the path out for us." And so finally they came to their senses and they started praying and they got other people praying. "God, give us wisdom. God, clear the way for us." And so the next fall of 1951, they go and have another meeting. So in a sorority, and Dad finishes the meeting with a gospel presentation. He said, "Those of you who'd be interested in knowing more about how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, come and stand in line here." Well, half of the women in the fraternity lined up. And for the next few hours, one at a time, Dad explained to them how they could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But at the end of it, they said, "Well, why don't we just all come back tomorrow night and all you gals, bring your boyfriends." And so the next night they did the same thing. And the movement there exploded. Why? God cleared the path. And what was the difference? The only thing they did differently, they didn't do anything differently other than the third time before they showed up, they'd been praying. They got everybody else they knew to be praying. And they were praying and praying and praying and praying and saying, "God, you do this." Now, there's a practical reason why I think God didn't bless my dad's effort the first two times. If Bill Bright had been successful those first two times, who would have gotten the credit?
Well, Bill would have.
Bill Bright. But when it was launched this way, after seeking God's face, pleading with God, and just pouring their hearts out to him, and all of a sudden, after the first two failures, this one absolutely explodes, the first meeting. Who gets the glory?
God gets the glory.
God gets the glory. And I think that's the one of the things God wants us to learn is he doesn't share his glory. He loves us, but he doesn't share his glory. So if we're not praying and say, "God, clear the path, and God, you do this, and you do this in an incredible way so you get the glory," then it's not God's battle plan. We need to go with God's battle plan. And, you know, we go back to Scripture. How many times do we see the Israelites going off, getting ahead of God, and it blows up in their face?
Well, when we come back, let's talk about one of those examples. As you're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright, and we're talking today as our number one duty as a Christ-centered citizen in the United States. How do we fight the culture war? What's our first duty? Well, Brad says it's prayer. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. We'll be right back.
Want to know more about how you can make God the issue in every issue? Get your copy of Brad's book, God is the Issue. Now in its third edition, you can get your ebook copy at brightmedia.org. Even better, if you subscribe to this podcast, you'll receive a coupon for one free download of God is the Issue ebook. Go to brightmedia.org. That's brightmedia.org and get God is the Issue ebook today.
Hey, welcome back to the God is the Issue podcast. As we're talking about our duties as a citizen and our primary duty as a citizen of the United States of America, and as we fight the culture war, fighting the culture war, and many of you listening are going, "Yeah, it just seems like we need to fight, but we don't even know how to fight." What's the first thing you should do? Brad Bright says, prayer. Now, Brad, you were going to give us some example from the Scripture of a leader that started trying to do it on, well, did it on their own. And what happened? I think of this one, maybe Joshua is a great example of that one. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you remember when the Jews are going into the Promised Land, they're fighting all these battles, and God said, don't make agreements with any of the local people because they'll lead you astray.
Right.
And so they're doing these battles. And then one day this delegation shows up from this country that's far, far away.
You know? Clothes are ragged. Their bottles are worn out. They look a hot mess.
Their bread is stale. Yeah, all this sort of stuff. And they show up and they say, "You know, we've heard about what God is doing through you guys. And That's phenomenal. And we wanted to make a treaty with you because we respect your God too. And Joshua said, well, how do we know that you're not really local? And they said, well, look at our food. It's old and our sandals are worn out and our leather bags, they're old and cracked because of all the heat coming across the desert. And they said, okay. And so they made it to Joshua and the leaders of Israel made a treaty with them. And then what they find out?
They were next door neighbors.
The Gibeonites, which were just 3 days march away. But at that point, they're obligated to honor their word because they made a contract that was sworn before God. And so because of that, they had to back off from going after the Gibeonites. Now, God wanted them to take out the Gibeonites with all the rest of them because these were debauched cultures. I mean, every sort of debauchery was going on in these cultures. God had judged the cultures and said, get rid of them because they'll lead you astray. Now the Gibeonites are in their midst permanently. And there's many other stories in Scripture we could go through the same process where the Israelites or the king did not consult God first. Mm. And we saw the negative consequences again and again and again.
Yeah. And if Joshua had just consulted and prayed, it never would have happened. And nope. It's really Joshua's only major mistake as documented in the Scriptures. It's a big one. A big one. All right. But Brad, so many believers give prayer a pass or pay very little attention to it. How has prayer played a powerful role in your own life?
You know, I remember the first time, it was kind of my aha moment, you know? I grew up in a Christian family and I saw God answer prayer all the time, but as always, my dad's and my mom's prayers. Now, I'd seen God answer my prayers too. But this was a unique moment in my life. I was a freshman in college. I was in college in Chicago and I was flying home for Christmas. I showed up at Chicago O'Hare and the place was people wall to wall. It was packed. And so I got in line and I finally realized I'm not going to make my flight. The line's not moving fast enough. And it was a prayer of desperation. I mean, this was not a prayer of faith. It was a prayer of desperation. God, I need 10 more minutes. And I looked up at the board and all of a sudden immediately went click. And the flight was delayed 10 minutes. And I went, oh. And so I stand there a little longer and I finally realized I'm still not going to make my flight. And another prayer of desperation, right? God, I need 10 more minutes. And I looked up the board and went, click. The flight was delayed another 10 minutes. And I went, oh, he's listening. Not only is he listening, but he cares about the details of my life. And that was one of those moments in my life that it was just like, okay, God isn't just listening to my mom and dad's prayers because they're godly people. He's listening to my prayers too because he loves me. I can remember being in a meeting a few years ago and we came up with our strategic plan for the year, right? This is with our whole team. And we said, now all we need is going to cost us $1 million. We don't have it. All that's all we need. Well, during that meeting, I got a call and I didn't take the call because we were in the meeting. But I called, there's a friend, and I called her back the next day. She said, Brad, I was calling yesterday just to tell you that I just stuck a check for $1 million in the mail. I think you'll know what to do with it. She had no idea that we needed the money. No, I hadn't talked with her. She didn't know that. But in the midst of it, we were saying, God, this is what we need. You're going to have to provide. In the midst of it, she had called, and I didn't call her back till the next day. But she said, yesterday, I stuck a check in the mail for $1 million. You see, when we don't talk to God, all we're doing is hurting ourselves. Mm. All we're doing is making ourselves ineffective.
All right. So let's talk to me about the power of prayer, because you just gave us a couple examples of prayer in a powerful sense. Where does that power come from and how do we develop it?
Well, there's no power in prayer. The power is in the one to whom we pray.
Mm. Wait a minute, but there's a song. And there is power, wonder-working power. Okay.
Yeah. All right. The power is in the person to whom we're praying. It's not, prayer is not nothing magical. It's not some sort of spell. It's not you pray and you get what you want. Power of prayer is in the person we have the relationship with. See, God has the power. We need to stay connected to the power source. And now, what's the primary way we stay connected to the power source? It's through talking with him. If you're not talking with it, you're not staying connected to the power source. You're not staying connected to the power source. No wonder you lack power. That's the point. Prayer is simply staying connected. My brother one day made a statement. My brother was a pastor in L.A. And he made a statement one day, probably 15 years ago. I've never forgotten. He said, the greatest tragedy in life is when we stop talking to God. And I thought, wow, he's right. And we're the ones that get hurt. And frankly, the entire body of Christ suffers when we're not doing our part.
So how are prayer and planning related then?
Well, if I'm the soldier and God is the commander, how do I find out what I'm supposed to be doing? I go talk to the commander in chief. You know, as a believer, I have direct access to the commander in chief. Direct access.
Right.
Now, he's already given me his manual, which we call the Bible. He's already given me a lot of the stuff I need, but not everything. And the reason he didn't give me everything is because he wants me to stay connected to him directly. He wants me to be having those conversations. Well, God, what do you want now? And what do you want me to do here? And what do you think, God? He wants that conversation just like we would have with anybody else, especially a superior at work or a parent or whatever. Someone has authority over us. We need to stay connected. Again, who knows the master plan? God. Who's in charge? God. Let's go talk to the guy in charge.
And we all know what happens when we plan, and then we say, hey, God, we got a plan. Please endorse it. Versus we pray and come up with a plan. We don't have to ask God to endorse it because that plan came from. Because we all have had experiences where we ask God to endorse something we did, and that's just not how it works. You're listening to the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright as we talk about prayer, really, but it's how we're going to fight the culture war. Our first duty as a Christian citizen in fighting the culture war, it's prayer. We'll be right back on making God the issue in every issue, specifically in fighting the culture war and understanding our primary and first duty. We'll be right back.
Brad Bright travels the country speaking and training people how to make God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, to find out how you can bring Brad's highly interactive workshop to your area. It's fun, engaging, and most important, it will help make you more effective in making God the issue in every issue. Go to brightmedia.org, that's brightmedia.org, and schedule Brad today.
Hey, welcome back to God is the Issue with Brad Bright as we talk today about how we're going to fight the culture war. What is our primary, our first duty as a Christian citizen in fighting the culture war? Brad, what happens when Christians plan and then pray afterwards? What happens when we get things out of order?
Well, it's kind of like if I want to hit the target, what do I do first? Do I go ready, aim, fire, right?
Right.
But what if I go ready, fire, aim? Am I likely to hit the target? Not very.
Could be likely to kill your friend next to you sitting at the same stand. It'd be terrible.
Now that's kind of like what we do when we have these plans and we don't talk to God about them. It's kind of like going ready, fire, aim. We need to talk to the one who knows where we're supposed to be going, what we're supposed to be doing. And it just like if you want to hit a target, you don't pull the trigger before you aim. If you want to know the battle plan, if you want to be effective, you don't engage in the battle before you talk to the guy who knows the battle plan. You don't do that. It's just not smart. God puts impressions in our heart and we go with them quickly, but we should always be having that conversation.
Yeah, that's how we end up getting run out. All right, so as a Jesus-following citizen, what role should prayer play in my life?
Central role? I guess that's the way to put it. Look, it's the one way we communicate with God. Jesus doesn't tweet. He doesn't do Facebook. He doesn't do TikTok. He doesn't do Instagram, okay? He doesn't do those. That's not how we communicate with him. We communicate with him through talking directly to him. He's kind of old-fashioned that way. He actually likes to have a conversation. So if we want to know what to do, we don't go to Facebook or TikTok or whatever. We go to the person we want to have that conversation with, which is God himself. That's where we start.
And when we're praying as a citizen trying to fight the culture war in these great United States of America, who should we be praying for?
Well, obviously for the elected officials, those who are actually implementing the authority of the Constitution. Those are the guys who are supposed to be implementing the within the context of the Constitution of making government work. Elected officials, bureaucrats, judges, well, frankly, even corporate leaders and reporters, they also influence the direction of where the country goes. They influence leaders. So we should be praying for all of these people.
You know, when I find myself praying, Brad, on a daily basis, I pray for my children and I pray for my grandchildren and I pray for my parents and Martha's parents. I can't tell you. Sometimes I've been angry and I'm praying for elected officials, but I don't find myself regularly praying for them. How do we know how to pray for those people?
Well, read the newspaper.
No, it's too expensive. Okay.
Or just go online. Read the news online. Are they making good decisions, bad decisions? What decisions do they need to be making? We should be praying that God gives them wisdom. Now then, if they're not willing to follow God's wisdom, we should pray Psalm 109, verse 8. That is, which says, let their days be few and may someone else fill their office. That's the psalmist prayed that. We should pray it too. But first, we should be praying for them personally, for their salvation, and that they would have godly wisdom. Now, if they refuse all that, we need to pray for the removal.
I have done that a few times. We won't go into that today.
I do.
All right. So how much time should I dedicate to prayer, to fighting the culture battle, my primary duty as a citizen of this country? How much time should I dedicate to prayer?
Well, let me come at this two different ways. First way is, how many hours are you awake every 24 hours?
Somewhere between 16 and 18.
Then 16 and 18 hours you should be praying, because the scriptures say to pray without ceasing. You see, you and I could be having a conversation, and I could have the vertical conversation with God at the same time. My brain is perfectly capable of carrying on both of those conversations at the same time. The human brain works so fast that we can all can do that. It's simply cultivating that habit of remembering to do that as I'm having the conversations, as I'm working during the day, as I'm driving, is to have that vertical conversation, constantly consulting with God. Now, we're not going to be praying for our leaders all that time, but part of what we're doing in the day is praying for our leaders, because the scriptures command us to do so. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray for those in authority over you. Why? So that you can lead a peaceful life. Do I want to live a peaceful life? Yes, I do. So what I need to do, I need to be praying for them, praying for wisdom for them, praying for their salvation. I need to be praying both of those things, and I need to be diligent in doing that.
All right. You got a great, you told some great stories from your own family. You got any other great stories of how prayer, the power of prayer, has been played out?
Well, I'll tell you, I can remember, this was 20-some years ago. And I was there were four of us sitting at dinner. My dad was beside me, and he and a friend were talking. And so I was sitting across the table from Henry Blackaby. And many of you will know that name. And this is the first time I'd ever actually met Henry. And so I'm sitting there for an entire dinner across from him. As we're chatting, I finally said, Henry, tell me about your quiet time. Your time alone with God. What does that look like? And I'll never forget this, Jim. He said, well, I spend about the first 3 hours of every morning listening. I said, oh, you mean, reading your Bible, listening to what God says to you from the Word? No. He said, before I even get to that part, I just spend 3 hours listening for the voice of God. And I went, oh. And I thought to myself, I don't think I could ever do that. and I still don't do that to this day. But the question is then, if I can't do that, what can I do? How much time can I just spend set aside, focused listening, reading God's word, talking with God, pouring out my heart to him, but also just listening? I may not spend 3 hours like Henry Blackaby, but my question for our listeners is, can you spend 5 minutes, just 5 minutes to just listening, 10 minutes, maybe 15? What can you do? You're not going to be a Henry Blackaby overnight, But you got to start somewhere. Start. Part of prayer is talking with God. The other part is listening. And Henry was a great role model for me in what it means to listen for the voice of God. And we all need to spend some time doing that. If we're not listening, then frankly, if we're not listening, we're losing because we're not with the battle plan. We need to hear what God wants us to do today. I need to hear what God wants me to do today.
And Henry Blackley, for those of you that are going, I know that name, Experiencing God. And I am sure there are millions of believers in this country and around the globe that have been impacted by that study, Experiencing God. It's great. No, we can't be Henry Blackaby overnight, but we can be Henry Blackaby if we would just sit and listen. Wow, 3 hours. I don't know if I could sit still for 3 hours. Brad Bright, great conversation today about how we're going to fight the culture war, our first duty as a Christian citizen to pray. Just a great conversation about putting God, making God the issue in every issue. How do we do that? By praying. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for joining us today on the God is the Issue podcast with Brad Bright. Remember to check us out online at brightmedia.org, brightmedia.org. Lots of great resources out there. But remember, in your conversations, always be kind, always be compassionate, always be shrewd while making God the issue in every issue.